Well, for a Negro sharecropper, she was overdressed. In the first place, she had shoes on. And stockings. And a dress. I saw the last time I was in Birmingham last week. When these reports first came out, I said, young lady, look, just facts. What did you have on? And she said, just what I have on today. She was about as much overdressed as I am. The truth of the matter is that the only way she would have been acceptable to answer this letter, I can tell you, the only way she would have been acceptable would have been to have driven up there in nothing more important than an ox cart with a bandana over her head and had driven to the kitchen. They resented her coming up there as the equal of anybody else. And the point that I don't like about all of this is that people in the North, if you please, as well as people in the South, continue to look at this problem in the way that Senator Eastland would like us to view it. Has the university until this moment said that they will admit all Negroes on the same basis as others? No, they haven't said it yet. So how is it just Miss Lucy? The only thing wrong with Arthurine Lucy was she was black. That's the only thing wrong with her. And she had no business in there in their books. And I say today, if we're going to face this problem of race relations as it applies in this country, we must get rid of all of our old theories of the Negro begging for, weeping for, and the other side generously giving from the bounty of their heart rights that are guaranteed by the Constitution to all of us. It's not a question of a white student at the University of Alabama giving up something by letting Miss Lucy in. They're not giving up anything. They have up to today enjoyed the privilege, if you please, of excluding her, but that isn't by right. It's been by brute force. The real problem in approaching this will run down three or four levels as I see it. One is timing. This letter here is in the same category. Don't move too fast. The time is not ripe. Well, at times, even in a college campus, I have to forget all of my training and get right down in the street. The time is not ripe. The Emancipation Proclamation was signed some 92 years ago. And if things don't get ripe within 92 years, they must get rotten. The time is not ripe because you can't legislate mores and customs. No efforts being made to legislate mores and customs. There is no power the Supreme Court of the United States has, and I, for example, would be one who would oppose any such power to tell you that you have to like or associate with somebody you don't want to associate with. There's no power under the sun that can make the students of any school accept the student. And there's likewise no power on that student body to exclude that student. One great civil libertarian has said that the power and the right that I have to swing my fist is absolute and without control, up to and including the tip end of your nose. I can swing it all I want to swing, my fist. But when I get to somebody else's nose, my right to swing my fist stops. Anybody has a right to say, I do not want to go to school with a Negro. Anybody has a right to say, I will not go to college with a Negro. But nobody has a right to say that that Negro can't go to my college. If you don't want to go to college with Negroes, get out. And if you find that the next college you go to has Negroes, get out of that one. You still have maintained your right, and I'll protect your right. You go from college to college, you end up, there are no colleges where there aren't Negroes. You still have your constitutional right to stay away from college and die a dummy. You still keep your right. And I'll protect your right. But you have no right to do anything to prevent the Negro from going there. Now, law is actually that simple. These students had a right, if you please. I'm not saying they should exercise it. But they had a right to have a peaceful demonstration and saying, we don't like Negroes. But they had no right to block her from coming in. They had no right to set up machinery which they knew would end up in either her being withdrawn or she was going to get killed. And the university made no effort to stop the mob at all. They had 30 state highway patrolmen there on the campus and didn't use them. Do you know what the most that they did? The most that the highway patrol did was to talk to the students and the outsiders too and say, don't you think you are going too far? Don't you think you should disperse? It's a mob of 2,000 that have thrown rocks at the president and have thrown a rotten egg at the top man of the highway patrol. Now, I can just imagine what would happen in Alabama, in Tuscaloosa, if a group of Negroes stoned a highway patrolman. I would be willing to stand here and wager $100 for every live Negro you produced afterwards. No, that's actually the truth. And I mean, that's how discriminatory all of this thing is. Students identified, led the mob on Friday night, Saturday night, and even Sunday night. On each occasion, they ended up at the president's house calling him every dirty name they could call him to his face, throwing firecrackers on his porch against his wife. On Monday, students threw rotten eggs and a tomato and hit his wife. The students said that they wanted to kill Arthurine Lucy. Down with everything. They were in the forefront of this mob bent on murder and destruction. There was an assistant dean of men of the university that admitted he was with the mob on every occasion and could identify all of the leaders. And as a result of what happened on February 6th, Arthurine Lucy is put out and not a single student's been disciplined. Now that just fails to make sense in our country today. The reason I emphasize this one is because it's the latest one, but it's not the last one. We have a case pending against the University of Georgia We have 5 cases pending against the University of Florida. This case is still in court in Alabama. There will be other instances. But I tell you, as sure as I'm standing here, if we reach the stage where we're going to continue to let these white citizens' councils and people of that type to take over and contaminate the minds of college students, our children in school, we've reached a real sorry state of affairs. This one ringleader made a speech in Birmingham night before last, and dared them to put him up. Dared the officials to put him up. Well, when I was in college, I was a ringleader of a lot of things. As a matter of fact, I organized 3 strikes while I was there. But honest to goodness, as long as I was in college, I never dared them to put me out for one good reason. I knew what would happen. But the University of Alabama, I hope in the question period, we will consider, not necessarily as a symbol of what's typical, it's the opposite of what has happened up to date. It possibly could be typical of the road from herein. The difference between whether or not it will be typical or an isolated instance depends solely on what the good people, South and North, are going to do about it. When I mentioned voting, I hope I did not give the impression that all of the voting in the area has cleaned up. It has not. In Mississippi, Negroes have been taken off the record books. Until now, it's doubtful whether we have more than 20,000 in the whole state. The federal government has not done one thing to stop it. Not one man has been indicted in Mississippi for taking Negroes' names off the books and for taking Negroes' votes and throwing them away in the year of 1955. I hope you don't get the idea that the educational problem is the only problem we face. If you want a short rundown of the problem as I see it, it runs this way. It's the removing of all of the remaining barriers insofar as voting and registration in the South. It means the removing of physical violence as a threat and a deterrent to exercise of our rights, which only can be done through additional legislation through Congress to strengthen the Civil Rights Bill. We need legislation that will guarantee that Negroes and other members of minority groups are not denied the right to employment solely because of race, religion, or national origin. We need the necessary protection of our federal and state governments to assure us that we will not be denied housing solely on the basis of race, and that we will not be required to live in isolated Jim Crow areas, North as well as South. The reason I would like to leave on that point is this. The biggest job in the country, North as well as South today, is a need for community education. This need for feeling that it is my responsibility, not somebody else's responsibility. Not the constant efforts to justify what we in our own hearts know is something that's horribly wrong.